open your Bible to Romans 13, chapter 3, verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, but His compassion never fails.
This church will be known as the Cross Church of the Community. The employer of the city plans, like we said, and I did two times. And we brought up two things in to share with everybody else. One of them noticed there was a boss already there for us to keep to this spot. I talked to him not too long ago, and he said, it's the first time he's done this thing. He kind of found two things in I got through that though. Cheryl there, that's the start of that. I thought they were a different type of squad, but enough to have a little growing up all over in their compost pile. We even planted some more in their raised boxes. And they came up and just came in squad also. Sometimes there's one in the squad, but sometimes I'll take two of yours, but you'll take three of ours. We had one squad back then, I'll be sharing with you.
Going on the deck with me and then keep calm.
that they get to live with the worship that they've been with for a long time, that they're going to be able to live for a while. So we knew what we were going to order. We have about an hour to rent the order of the restaurant. We did buy a nice liquor. And then our order, so that's the table, and we identified ourselves as 40. So we take our drink order and come back with them, and then we look at it and say, I just want to thank you for doing all night. what happened? Well, I heard another day that we have got to go to the same appointment. I need to pray for that. We need to get out of this way. And right now, she comes around the corner with a child of two. Cody. My friend's Cody. Now remember, this woman is about Cody. But by now, I was thinking, how is I going to eat French toast when driving? There was the baby. But the friend says something to her. The manager says something to his wife. This is Mr. Stanis, well, I think he said, sorry, can I introduce your baby? He said, oh, no, that's fine. We just kept it with us. Maybe Cody's having a bad day. Did you find that too long after that? So, then he shook hands, told him thank you, and he left. Now for that long drive, he's all right. He's kind of cutting up bite-sized pieces of French toast, chicken, compost, and cheese sauce. Kind of glad to have this little chair down here to catch the dripping. I could wash my shirt later. He's stuffing these entire pieces in my mouth. And at the same time, we're trying to process what happened. And we're thinking about hope. We don't know what's going on in life. So we put him in somewhere at one. That really wasn't very new there. We didn't know what was happening, but something was happening. Cody was coming with other people from the restaurant. There was a lot of people angry with him. If you remember, he kind of suffered, but Cody said, thank you for being so nice. We don't know if somebody had said something to him or not. It's amazing what people would say when they're frustrated. He started to worry what the manager was going to do with him. He was going to see his master on the job. The old manager said, Cody, you're in a slump, you're having a bad day. Why don't you just go home and sleep it off? Well, the manager going to lower the hammer of judgment on him and say, Cody, you're fired. He did know that the devil was trying to incinerate odds with the boss of you. You know, in a day and age that we're in now, where we're all trying to get what is left in our lives, where selfishness is the name of the game, where people are always ready to point the finger and back to the face of you and say, it's your fault, you messed up, and so you earned it. In an age where everyone is judging, where's the greatest? Where's the mercy? So often we filter our picture of who God really is to the picture of how we see each other. We bring them down on a human scale and say, who must look like this? Because that's what I see in other people. So today we're going to let James talk to us. And I hope you see that the true God of the universe is a great healer. He's a mercy lover and his mercy triumphs over his judgment. Paul refers to him as the Lord's brother there in Galatians 4:19. You know what, first James probably didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But he had a conversion in his life. Maybe it happened to him. He now says Jesus was the Son of God. And he then comes to a point in his life where he's given at the first Christian church there in Jerusalem. He takes up the need of patient endurance in the face of the Christian. James talks to people in supervision because he's a prominent and powerful leader. He's not Paul for a church planter. No, he's James with the same kind of authority and speaks to Christians everywhere. And this morning he's going to speak to you now. So listen to James in chapter 1 as we run through a few of these verses before we get to chapter 2 where the thrust of this message is. Chapter 1 is filled with some good thoughts. If you want to grow your life, you want God even more. Philippians 1:5 says, water in the next one, and you come down the garden. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all in the brotherly and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Don't know what to do, ask God. He's the one who does it all. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning. He doesn't find fault when you ask. He just wants to grow with you and develop you with what's right from the wisdom that he's going to give you. Now, let's get down to verse 12, chapter 11. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Now that's not a real verse for somebody here this morning. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. And not only blessed to endure that temptation, but the promise of the crown of life. Now verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He comes down from the Father of light, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. It's hard to see a picture of God, and that's the way Jim pointed it to him. He shows us a God who wants us to succeed. He wants to bestow wisdom on you. He knows that God pertains to both you, and he wants to travel with you all along the way through both paths. God doesn't change. And every day, today, tomorrow, and forever. Now we're going to go into chapter 2. James is going to talk to Christians everywhere. He's talking about a life that honors God, and he's not showing favor to them. He said also, you shouldn't show favor, whether they be rich or poor, black or white, whether they're educated or not. And definitely when one political party takes a decision to separate you. Chapter 2 is a great preamble of where we're going next, and continues to talk about favoritism and also about the law. Chapter 2 verse 8 says, if you would really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. It's a powerful passage. If it looks at the law of God, and in essence it says, look, the whole law is one. And it puts God's law on an even playing field. But we may have never killed someone. How many of us have taken his name in vain? Well, most of us have never had an affair or committed adultery. How many of us have lied? It's not a worse sin than another. And when we sin, we get the law, right? So James says, if you've broken one, you've broken them all. In other words, if you sin by breaking one of those laws, you're a sinner. You know that verse in Romans, it says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Remember, if you've broken one, then you've broken them all. It's kind of funny how we take the devil on in terms of that one. To come up on a pedestal and say something like, I just keep hating what I'm doing. The more I keep doing, the more God's going to love me. And yet there are so many other things in life that don't represent the God that created us that we don't even talk about. I mean, not only do we misrepresent God in the way we talk to him, or how we harbor hate in our hearts, or how we give into anger, or how you step on anybody to get what you want. When we misrepresent God, we are sinners. In fact, every one of us here this morning is guilty. We're all convicted. We're all under judgment. We've all broken the law, and now we are condemned. my life. There are some relationships that play off and sometimes back off my takers. I'm happy to say the brain takes us to the next step. Because if you just stop at the judgment seat and you look at God with a pointed finger and looking at all our faults, then we have missed the picture of who God really is. Then, when that picture was in verse 12 and 13 of chapter 2. And this is what he says in the New International Version. You know, there are all different versions of the Bible, and you can find Jesus in any of them. And he says in verse 12, "Keep an eye on those who are going to be judged by the law that lives through them. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." James says, "Live your life as a reflection of God's character, which is the Ten Commandment law. God gives us this law. It's a freeing law because this law is designed to live in you with the Creator in your heart. This law is not a list of demands that you have to do. This law is made to say, live and live, and you will live as the Creator designed it. This is how we should live." And he says, "Give mercy to others, because you are judged by making mistakes." Remember verse 13. He says, "Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." So here's the last phrase of the sentence of verse 13. It's a powerful statement. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Did you hear that? Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is God's will. How often we get hung up on the judgment part and miss the mercy part, but mercy triumphs over judgment. When I was looking on this sermon, the word for triumph can be translated like this: to assume superiority over, or to glory over, or to boast again. God loves to show mercy and judgment. When you think of God's mercy and judgment, and you have to have a law of life to see a framework for a beautiful life of someone living with Jesus. He also has mercy. And when mercy and judgment go hand in hand, mercy always wins. Mercy triumphs over judgment, and when we read this verse, we start to see a different picture of God. Not because mercy goes against judgment, but it's a picture of the very heart of God. God loves to show mercy. And throughout the Bible, it talks about it. I'll give you a few places. Luke 6, 26 talks about when it says, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Psalm 36:15. "You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long suffering, and abundant in mercy." Did you hear that? Abundant. He's got more than enough. Never stop, or just keep getting it. Here is a verse that we read in Lamentations 3:22. "And the Lord's mercy will not be seen, but his compassion shall not be." How about this verse? It's a song in Micah 7:18 that says, "Who is a God like you, who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? We do not stay angry, however, but we love the same nation. We love the same nation." We miss your opportunity to show mercy and grace and compassion. We can't wait to receive mercy where it's unexpected and even undeserved. And this is part of who God is. Now, looking for the perfect illustration, the closing of this message today is the story of Isaac and Jacob. I get a little teary-eyed sometimes when I tell this story because it reminds me of God. It reminds me of Jesus. This is Jonah, brother and sister. This is Paul and Jonah's head. They loved doing everything together. They played hard together. They sang together. Sometimes they would meet in the hallway at night. You see that meet there in the hallway. The little flashlight would go up and look at pictures from one of their books somehow. And then they would crawl back to their room, thinking that they had one of their mom and dad. But you know how life goes. One day they got into a sibling fight. and grain is laying on the path with our arms dangling down. And this full of bags of bread in her arm and fighting her with all his might. The mother heard the stone and ran in and let her down. She saw the bite mark on the stone and ran. No one else was around. Sure enough, only her own death had been in the heart. And what to do? Knowing Jane better than anyone else, her mother said, Jane, after you stop crying, you can bite your brother's hand to punish him. Needless to say, this guy came pretty softly, and he cried about it. Finally, he raised up his arms and shook him. He was crying all hard as they came up. Well, Jane grabbed his arm, and as he died, I'm getting ready, but he stopped while his brother was trying to help him. He was waiting for the plane to fall on, and he was enjoying what happened. There was no plane. You see, Jane did not fly home, but instead stayed there for me. They both hugged each other. Both of them crying even harder now, and their love grew even deeper. Jane and Jane's arm was falling. He cried for his brother. Just like Jesus Christ does. I don't know what the picture of God is. Maybe it's seen as angry and vengeful, but he's a merciful God and he loves to show it. God does not cause harm and pain, and we're here today to grieve and listen from Jordan, the territory of his God is. Now we're given a chance to show God's character to others. Grace and kindness to the glory of the Lord. Grace and forgiveness to our brothers and sisters, not only here in the church, but outside the church. And just grace will always, always help us. You know that my brother and sister devoted to helping the needy. The stories tell us that James was martyred and he was stoned and beaten to death. Prior to dying, he became on his knees and asked God to forgive him. And so, when we all look back, the wonder of God's mercy and rest in his compassion and love for all of us. God will always delight in giving you grace, and it's a promise. He will always delight in giving grace to others. We're going to sing our closing song now. Number 482, Father, lead us through my day. And as we sing this song, remember that when you're tempted to be angry, tempted to be impatient or unforgiving or whatever, our Heavenly Father will lead us out of that temptation. Bear up with us. And as the song says, Heavenly Father, soon we go in there. But in the meantime, help us when we're tempted to be strong, to fight against those temptations by your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.